I'm actually not sure whether you really need to hear what I've got to say, because through the worship, the communion and the words that have been brought, we've kind of covered it. But it's always good to be reminded. We've just sang, you know, who I am, I'm loved by God, and my message is, who are you? Today we're just going to continue on in our series of living faith. And we're just going to look at, well, who are you? Because it's not only the world, but often us as Christians suffer an identity crisis. And so we want to have a look and say, well, really, who am I? I've discovered that you actually learn a lot about yourself when you go on a journey. Has anyone else noticed that? You discover your strengths and your weaknesses, how well you can read a map and follow instructions, how resourceful you can be when things don't go according to plan. You discover your likes and your dislikes. I found that I loved snorkeling, and I didn't like standing in queues. I enjoyed the freedom of not having every detail pre-planned, but seeing how the day panned out and deciding, do I want to stay here a bit longer or shall we move on? You discover the adventurer in yourself. And you do things that you wouldn't normally do, like hanging backwards from the top of a castle so you can kiss a stone, or crossing a swing bridge, which can be a little scary. We get confronted by our fears, and we discover the courage within ourselves to actually conquer those fears. We're all on a faith journey. And we're discovering ourselves in that process. Now, I'm pretty sure that you all have your own opinion of how you see yourself. Unfortunately, our image is coloured. It's coloured by our upbringing, how we were treated at home by our parents, how other people have treated us through life, and our interpretation or our response to our life's experiences. Therefore, our opinion or our vision is often misguided, at the very least, or incomplete, or it's totally wrong. The one person who has all of the facts about you, who knows us intimately from the inside and out, is God. As we get closer to God, on our faith journey, we learn more about Him. We learn that He really does love us, that He desires good things for us. He cares for us. When we understand this about Him, it enables us to trust Him more fully with the issues of our life. Because I don't know about you, but it's really hard to trust somebody if you're not sure that they have your best interests at heart, if they don't really care about you. And I think as Christians, we have a lot of Christians who struggle with trusting God. We can say that He's the perfect Father. We can say that His plans are good, but the way we live our lives doesn't really express that we're trusting Him, that we really, really believe that He wants to do us good. Alongside this, we're learning more about ourselves. Who does God say I am? What am I capable of achieving in Christ? We want to be the best us we can be, because we tend to live up to the expectations that are placed on us. For example, if a child at school is told that they're a naughty girl, they're going to behave naughty. They will behave the way they're expected to behave, because she believed what she was told. So what we believe about ourselves is really important. It's like a compass that we align our life to. So we better make sure that our compass is pointing in the right direction. We're going to take a look at who we are from God's perspective. Some of you might be surprised and think, oh, that's not me. You know that photo that gets taken? Oh, no, I don't really look like that, do I? You know, the camera doesn't lie. Photoshop does. You can do all sorts of things, but the camera can only record what it sees. Or when you hear your own voice, oh, I don't really sound like that, do I? Because we sound different to ourselves. So we've got to realise that the picture that we have of us is not necessarily who we are. We're going to start at the beginning, Genesis. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Point one, you are made in the image of God. You are imago Dei. Therefore you are of inherent value. And although sin has marred the image, it's still there. What does it really mean to be made in the image of God? The truth is we are not God, although many of us have believed and acted as though we were, choosing to go our lives, doing our own thing, doing it our own way, and as a result many of us crashed and burned. No, it doesn't mean we are God, but we are God-like. I want to have a quick look at just six ways in which we're God-like. And take note, this list is not exhaustive, but it illustrates a point. You are creative because God is creative. We all make things. Artists do it with paint. Poets, writers, and lawyers do it with words. Manufacturers with raw materials. Chefs with fruit, veggies, meat, and spices. And doctors make people healthier. I'm going to take my glasses off. I'm struggling to read through them. Too close. We all have the capacity to create. So stop and take a look at what you're creating. Can you say like God, it is good? You are spiritual because God is spiritual. We're more than some, keep disappearing, of our physical parts. Our spiritual nature, though it is unseen, is as real as your physical nature. Nurturing our spirit is as important as eating, drinking, and exercise are to your physical body. So how nutritious is your diet that you're feeding your spirit with? Are you building your spirit up, or are you your own worst enemy and crushing it down? You are a communicator because God communicates. We're able to express our emotions, our thoughts, and our ideas. We can do it to God, and we can do it with one another. We need to listen more to really hear what is being said and not jumping to conclusions before we hear the whole message. We communicate with our whole body. We use our facial expressions, the tone in our voice, the mannerisms that we use when we get excited or, you know, different people react differently. And it helps to give meaning to the words that come out of our mouth. You know, we have to be careful because it can be incredibly confusing to the listener when the words that we say and the way that we look and act are incongruent. They don't match up. Our communication requires honesty and genuineness. It's a wonderful gift And it's something we all need to work on, becoming better communicators. You are intelligent because God is intelligent. And although we are not all intellectuals, we do each possess a mind and a way of thinking and learning. Note that Jesus commanded us to love God with all our mind. It's not just about the heart and our strength. You are relational because God is relational. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are not created to be alone, but to be in relationship, enabling us to love and experience intimacy with one another and with God Himself. Our relationships are important and we need to value them highly. We need to work at making them good. They don't just happen. You are morally responsible because God is moral. Just as there are natural laws that govern the universe, like gravity, there are universal moral laws that govern human behavior. The Bible teaches that these laws are written and are universal. Can I move forward a little bit so I don't keep leaning back into that dead zone? There was a quote by Dick Storb, and he says, "When we fully grasp what it means to bear God's image, we are at once struck with the grandeur of the possibilities and the tragedy of our unrealized potential. To be fully human is to fully reflect God's creative, spiritual, intelligent, communicative, relational, moral, and purposeful capacities. You are made in the image of God." Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18, you will know them well. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." There are 2 points I want to take from this passage. So my first point was, you are made in the image of God. Point two is, what a marvelous creation you are. You know, not a single one of us here is here by accident, even if your parents think so. God Himself made you, body and soul. And there is not another person like you in the entire world. Some people might say that's a good thing. It is a good thing. You are unique, handcrafted to God's design, with a divine call and purpose for your life. Wow. Take a moment. Let that sink in. You've been handcrafted by God Himself, and there is a call and purpose. Only you can be you. Without you, the church, the world is missing a vital piece. You are unique, You are precious. And there is nothing about you that God doesn't know. He knows what will satisfy us better than we know ourselves. He knows what makes us tick. The second point is, you are constantly in his thoughts. It's quite hard to comprehend, but his thoughts towards you outnumber the grains of sand. His thoughts and plans toward you are for good, not disaster. They are for peace and well-being, and to give you a future and a hope. You'll find that in Jeremiah 29:11. You know how comforting and encouraging it is when someone comes alongside you and prays with you or prays for you? It's a good feeling, isn't it? Well, Hebrews 7:25 tells us that Jesus not only thinks about us all the time, he intercedes for us. Jesus always prays to the Father for you. He's doing it right now. And I was reminded that a couple of weeks ago a prophetic word came out in church, and it says, you are not forgotten by God. There's no chance. You are constantly in his thoughts. You are constantly in his prayers. Point four, you are loved. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loves us because of who we are, not because of anything we have done, or will do, or haven't done. He loves us this much, from one nail-pierced hand to the other. John 17:23 says how much he loves. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and have loved them, even as you have loved me. He loves you. God loves you like he loves Jesus. No matter how you feel about yourself, no matter how unworthy you think you are, it makes absolutely no difference to the fact that God loves you. It is time to take our negative thoughts about ourselves captive and to see ourselves as God says we really are. Loved and treasured. The apple of his eye. You can't keep God from loving you because God is love. And you're not going to change his character. So get over it. You are loved. Point five. You are the king's kid. 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We've been called into a loving, caring relationship with God himself as our dad. We're co-heirs with Christ, and we get to enjoy all the benefits and the responsibilities that entails. To be loved and cared for, protected and provided for, taught and, yes, disciplined, blessed with everything that we need. Our Heavenly Father doesn't hold our failures against us. He extends his mercy to us. When we make mistakes, he is always ready to pardon, and Ernest so beautifully put that this morning during communion. Psalm 103:10-13 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father, which we have also sung about this morning, has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. you know, while you've got breath in your lungs, there is no place so low or so far away that you cannot come back to God. If you're in doubt, you need to read your Bible and look at some of the people in there. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper and he denied Christ 3 times. David was a murderer. And then, David had an affair and then he committed murder trying to cover it up. Noah got drunk. Elisha was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer and way too religious. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha, a worrier. Thomas, a doubter. Rahab, a prostitute. Samson liked prostitutes. And Abraham was rather creative with the truth. Yet through repentance, God forgave them. And they moved forward in their calling. Sin did not define them. God did. God testified of David that he was a man after God's own heart. And yet he had done these things. Reread the heroes of faith in Hebrews. What are they known for? We don't remember them for their faults, for their failures, for their sin. They're remembered for their faith and their exploits for God. I learnt an awful lot about myself when I did the chaplaincy course. It really makes you look at yourself and examine yourself. And our faith journey is just that same thing. It's getting into the Word. It's allowing God to speak into your life and correcting those wrong ways of viewing ourselves. We see a rock. God sees water coming out of that rock. When all we can see are the faults in our lives, God sees the possibilities. Where we see problems, God sees solutions to those problems. You know, God found Gideon in a hole, Joseph in a prison, Daniel in a lion's den. I think it's curious that God has a habit of showing up in the midst of trouble, not the absence of it. So it doesn't matter where you are, what is happening in your life, God is with you. Let it get into your spirit that you are who God says you are, not what the world says. You are made in His image. You are a marvelous creation who is constantly in His thoughts and in His prayers. You are loved and you are the King's kid. You know, the value of something is determined by the price someone is willing to pay for it. A pair of smelly used basketball boots are worth a fortune if their previous owner happened to be Michael Jordan. No one would pay that for mine. You are incredibly valuable, and God paid the ultimate price, that of His Son, Jesus Christ, to purchase your life and free you from sin. As journeys often do, this morning's journey is now going to take an unexpected turn, because today the journey is not just about you. Have a look at the person sitting next to you. A proper look, not a glance. Have a look at the person sitting next to you. Do you know God sees them exactly the way He sees you? He doesn't love them any more or any less than He loves you. He took just as much care when He crafted them and knit them together in their mum's womb. We need to not only see ourselves how God sees us, we need to see one another that way too. This person that you're looking at, are you still looking? is unique, just like you are. So don't try to be like them or do what they are doing. Do what God wants you to do and give them the freedom to do and be who God's called them to be. Value them. Value what they're doing. Encourage them in God like He encourages you. Praise Him like Jesus prays for you. God is their Father and He is cheering them on. When they make mistakes, God's ready to pardon and forgive them and allow them to move on. Let's be like our dad, becoming more godlike in our attitudes and actions towards each other. Towards your husband, towards your wife, towards your children, towards your parents. God loves them too. Remember that God loves the unsaved as much as He loves you. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So that person out on the street that maybe doesn't wash terribly well and doesn't smell very nice to be next to, God loves that person. They were created and fashioned by Him. He sees them like He sees you. What we believe about people is vital. All people are created in God's image. This biblical view of humanity means that we can accept all people as having intrinsic worth. No one is worth more than any other person. We're all created and loved by God in grace. And we need to love and accept people, warts and all. The broken, the battered, and the sinful, and value them like God does. You know, God loves sinners. He hates sin, but God loves sinners. Have you ever noticed that if we look up at the clouds, they can look really dark and threatening? But if you're in a plane and you're flying over them and the sun is shining, they're all fluffy and white on the other side. We need the heavenly view. We need the God perspective so that we're looking for the possibilities, the good in people, not seeing all the yuck. Mark Amen says, reason sees the world as it sees itself, but faith sees the world as God sees it. You know, God sees our sins more clearly than absolutely anybody. He knows everything. And yet He loves us more than anybody. How can we be any different? Unless we make a daily effort to see the world as God sees it, we will never get beyond mere appearances. You know, we all need saving. Not just from our sins, but I think we need saving from the idea that God sees the world the way we do. We need to see the world the way God sees it. Jesus aptly demonstrates the attitude of heart that He has towards others. When He looked at the crowds all around Him, the Bible constantly says that He had compassion. And in Scripture, wherever you read that Jesus had compassion, guess what? Miracles happened. People got fed. They were healed. They were taken care of. The lost were found and people were set free. Yep, we've all got stuff in our lives that is not God-like, that doesn't marry up to the picture that God says of us. But in Christ, we're made perfect. when we take on board what God says about us, when we allow Him full access to our lives to bring about the change He wants, in Christ we are made righteous. You may not realize how marvelous you are, but understand that you're on a journey to becoming the person He says you are. We're all in different places on that journey, and sometimes it can look very messy. Sometimes. But that's what happens when restoration is going on. You know, you've got to do some demolition and deconstruction before you can rebuild again. And it's messy, and it's dusty, and it's annoying, and it's inconvenient, but it's life. You and all those around you are under reconstruction. But be encouraged, because God promises to complete the work that He's begun in you. You achieve what you believe. Believe God and what He says about you and your fellow man. Let's just stand and pray. If we could have the worship team come up, that would be awesome. Lord, we want to thank You that You have perfect 2020 vision. And when ours is coloured and when we get things wrong, Lord, You don't. Help us, Lord, to trust You with our whole lives. Help us to accept Your truth. Lord, we so often pick and choose out of the Bible the truths that we want to run with and those that we just ignore. But Lord, help us to and accept the truth of ourselves. And in doing so, it enables us to accept that truth about others as well. Thank You, Lord, that You have made us in Your image. That we are unique. There is no one like us. Thank You, Lord, that You love us. You care for us, and we just surrender, Lord, to Your Lordship afresh this morning. Lord, come and do a work in our hearts. Lord, make us more like You, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as the worship team sing, if something has really touched you, or you know that that self-image is in a really bad way, and you want someone to stand with you and pray, then we've got people here. We'll stand with you. We'll pray. Let's see those wrong things broken off of lives and entering into the freedom of who we really are.